Amen. So I won't review from last week just for sake of time, but I would encourage you, if you missed last week, please go check it out. We were in Romans 8 talking about the journey of sonship. Today's part two, the journey of sonship. So guys, the biggest thing we need to understand, and I think we missed this, and I'm probably ahead of myself already, is that the Lord is like righteous and just, right? The Lord is, we need to fear the Lord, but he's also patient and kind. Can I get amen? Yeah? If the Lord was not patient and kind, we'd all be dead. All of us. Amen. Some of you are like, not me. Oh, definitely you. He'd kill you first. Right? And again, in any of us that have kids or even foster kids or anything, grandkids, we understand, like, as our kids grow, like when our kids are five, we expect a certain kind of behavior out of a five-year-old. And as they grow, right, a 10-year-old should behave effectively a certain kind of way and on and so forth and so on. Can I get amen, right? And we need to understand in the kingdom, God understands the same concept. You understand? As we grow, the Lord will be patient with us. We will stumble, right? We will make mistakes. We will. It's bound to happen. Hopefully, our mistakes get fewer and farther between as we grow, right? Is that all right? So the biggest thing to understand is we will be wrapping up next Sunday, by the way, guys, is Olga from IHOP. Dude, yes, don't miss it. We love, not that IHOP. That's gross. That's not even real pancakes, man. I don't know. Can't eat there. Dude, Harvest Bakery. But IHOP, Olga from IHOP, International House of Prayer, will be with us next Sunday. Looking super forward to that. So we're going to continue this journey on sonship, the journey of sonship. Everybody said amen? Here we go, Romans 8. Turn with me to Romans 8. And then we're going to jump over to Hebrews and going to move a little bit quicker than I planned on, but it'll be good. Romans 8, I want to give a little context to this one verse, and I want to show you something that I think Paul's saying here in Romans 8 that we don't normally think about, I don't think. You guys all there? Romans 8, 28. Give me 28, Ruth, up there on the televisions, please. And we know, everybody say we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Notice it doesn't say purposes with an S on the end, as in multiple purposes, but purpose as in one. There's one purpose that the Lord has for us as human beings, and that's found in the next verse. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, right? So that, ever say so that he, Jesus, would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he meaning the Father here, right? The Father also called, and these whom the Father called, he also justified, and these whom the Father justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? So just a couple things quickly here. So how many people have heard the doctrine of predestination at some point in their walk? Hopefully more than like three of you. So that doctrine can get pretty sticky pretty quickly. Some of that teaching suggests that the Lord has a predestined plan for every single person's life and that plan will happen no matter what that person does. Everybody say that's garbage. Because if that's true, then free will is gone, right? I can do whatever I want, and God's just gonna, right? Now there's other scriptures that talk about this. The Bible says that the Lord chooses some vessels for honor and some vessels for dishonor. It's an interesting study. Study those words out, right? But what we have to understand here, my beloved, is that the predestination that Paul is talking about here is the predestination not to be a pastor or a business person or a teacher. No. The predestination that we see in the Bible is predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, right? And that predestination kicks in once a person decides they're going to follow the Lord. Do you understand? So every single human being, there's this predestination that's hovering over their life. And once they decide they're going to say yes to Jesus, they're going to surrender their life to the Lord, this predestination then takes effect in their life. And whatever they choose to do to make money or in their spiritual gifts or whatever it might be is not what Paul's talking about. Paul's saying what we're predestined to be conformed to is the likeness of Christ. One of the reasons that we see so much division in the church today, right? I said last Sunday, 40,000 denominations worldwide. 40,000. 200 in America. Over 200, right? The reason we see this is because we fail to see this concept. I was at a men's thing years ago, and this preacher's up there, and he's this is what he says. It was like an iron sharpens iron thing or something. And he says, listen to how we even evangelize nowadays. Here's what we say. We go and we go to a mall or wherever we're going to go. And we meet somebody. We're like, hey, man, can I talk to you about Jesus, bro? And the guy's like, sure. Say sure. Sure. All right. And then, you know, what we say, man, God's got a plan for your life. Now, is that true? Yeah. But the problem is that then I meet this lady and I say, God's got a plan for your life and God's got a plan for your life and God's got a plan for you and you. And so what we hear, our brain kicks in and says, well, God's going to do something with me. And then God's going to do, you know, and it's like we get this idea that my individual plan, the individual plan of my life that God has for me is more important than his plan for the church. Right? And what this guy says is he says, here's what we should say. We should say God has a plan and there's room for you in it. One plan, and you have a role in it, right? You see the difference. If we talk about it that way, it's this kind of a, right, instead of this, and we splinter, and everybody's like, because what happens is, man, if you're not going to help me fulfill my plan, then we'll fine, I'll go to another church. Dude, it's just, and we see so much division in the church, right? Rather than we're supposed to be using our gifts to serve one another, clearly in the Bible, right? Does this make sense? So, church, do you understand this? We're predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, but I want to talk about verse 31 really quickly here. Verse 31, he says, what then shall we say to all, what shall we say to these things, right? To what things is Paul saying? What shall we say to these things? If you read right down just a few more verses, this is where it gets into what shall separate us then from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Shall trial or tribulation or storm or peril or death or life or angels or demons. You know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying, look, this journey of being conformed to the image of his son is going to be difficult. Sometimes. Harder than others, it's sometimes. Can I get amen? You know what I figured out, at least for me, I'm just going to look over here. When it gets hard, it's because I'm digging my heels in. Yeah, amen. It gets hard when I'm digging my heels in, right? I'm resisting the Spirit of the Lord, right? Amen. Is that all right? Hebrews 12, let's turn over there. We're going to hopefully get some ground covered here. It's going to talk about journey of sonship. Journey of sonship. Hebrews 12, verse 5, we'll start in. He says this. I was going to give you more scripture back up a little bit, but we'll hit that some other time. Look at what he says here. You have forgotten the exhortation which addressed to you. Everybody say this with me. As sons. So you know what the writer's talking about here? These are people who've been saved, right? This as sons here is a legal transaction, right? Now you're being spoken to as an adopted son, right? You're saved, you've been chosen by God, and you are part of his family. He says, now I'm going to talk to you as a son, right? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline. Everybody say discipline. The discipline of the Lord. Nor faint when you are reproved by him, for those whom the Lord loves, he blesses. He gives them a nice, warm, snuggly hug. He just opens every single door for you that you knock on without any effort at all. No. Those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he yowzer. He scourges every son whom he receives. Think of what the word receives here is. This is someone who is saved, and God the Father has received this person into his family, right? He says, okay, cool. How many of you are saved in here? Yeah? How many of you, when you got saved, if you can remember, some of you have been saved more than a little bit. How many of you, can you remember when you got saved, like there was this period of time where it seemed pretty easy? And then one day, you started getting spanked, and you're like, wait a second, what is going on here? Right? Pastor Al and I, one of our favorite terms is we got taken to the woodshed. Right? And you're like, wait a second. I remember when the Lord started dealing with me, and I was like, no, this is not Christianity. I can pretty much do whatever I want, and you're supposed to just be nice. Can I get an amen? Right? How many people, once the Lord started shortening the leash, you're like, I don't like this. For sure. Right? We're going to talk about this for a few minutes. Let's keep reading, though. Verse 7, it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you. Look at this phrase here. Say it out loud with me. As with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Ouch. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they, our earthly fathers, disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but God disciplines us for our, say it out loud, church, come on, for our good, right? So that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, yet to those who have been trained by it, by the discipline, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So here's the goal, right? We talked last week a lot about this concept is a mature son, right? This is what God's looking for, mature sons. I might do one more Sunday in this series. You're all like, tell me when it is, Pastor, because I'm going to skip it. I'll be sick that Sunday. Right, but maybe one more. There's one more passage of scripture we're going to look at that we typically twist around and misquote it. But it's where Paul talks to Timothy as a young pastor. He says, "Look, church is going to be hard," and he gives him a whole list of why it's going to be hard. And then he says, "You know, these are people that hold to a form of godliness but deny the power." The power, the word is dunamis, right? The same word we see when we say, "Man, I'm going to lay hands on sick people." Dunamis, right? Power. But the problem is the list that Paul gives Timothy, there's not a single miracle in the list. It's character. The entire list is character. What will be lacking in the end time church? Paul does not say that there will not be miracles, signs, and wonders. What Paul says is there'll be a lack of character. That's why it's going to be hard. Ouch. You want to know who has lack, a person who has lack of character? You know how we would describe that person? Immature. Is that true? Right? I mean, if we just wanted to be general about it, someone who's X number of years old, and then we watch their behavior and think, my goodness gracious, how would you get 35 and still acting like that? We consider this person to be immature. Right? So when we see folks that have been in the body of Christ for 10 years, 20 years, whatever, it's not chronological, but you understand what I'm saying. Folks, I remember one person told me, I said, Pastor, I pray for 5 hours a day. I'm just going to look over here. I pray 5 hours a day, Pastor. You know what? I didn't say it, but I'm going to say it now. The thought in my head was, why is your life such a mess then? I didn't say it. Now I did. But I'm like, my goodness gracious, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't pray for 5 hours a day. Can I get amen? Right? Like I'm thinking, if you're actually praying for 5 hours a day, your life should be pretty awesome. Yeah? You should have some pretty deep revelation from the Lord if you're doing it right. Is that all right? Is anybody mad I said that? It's out there now in Facebook world. Jesus' name. I'm going to get canceled. That's right. Cancel me. I want to touch on a few things here, church, and then we're gonna tie this together. Verse 8, this is a really, really tough concept. Can you give me verse 8 up there? If you're without discipline, of which all, everybody say all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Here's what's fascinating. As I was studying this, I've studied this one a lot, but because it's a tough one. But the word for illegitimate children right there is a Greek word that's used one time in the entire Bible right there. One time. And the word, just forgive me, this is what the word means. The word means a bastard, right? So we understand that in our culture as a child that's born out of wedlock, right? So I'm not being critical if anybody's head gets out of wedlock. It's a metaphor. Please don't get offended or whatever, all right? It's a metaphor. And so you have to understand what the metaphor is, my beloved, is that when you have a marriage and then you have children within the confines of a marriage, there's a covenant that's been made and the child is born within the covering of that covenant. Right? Marriage is a covenant. So illegitimate children is what we'd call in our culture. We don't use that word anymore, do we? I don't know. But that's a child that's born outside of the covenant of a marriage. Right? And it's God, you know, it's okay. God, no babies come without God. Can I get amen? Every baby that's ever been born is because God decided it's time for that person to come to the earth. Amen. That's 100% true, right? But my point is this. What if you look at the context here of what this guy is saying, if we are born again, we're born again into a covenant that Jesus purchased for us, right? And he's saying part of this covenant is that the Father will discipline you. And so if you reject and push back against the disciplining of the Lord, which we're going to talk about what discipline actually is here in just a moment, but if we reject the discipline of the Lord, we reject his instruction, we reject his fathering of us, what we're doing is stepping out from under the covenant that he put us in. We become children that are outside of the protection of the covenant. Not sons. Ouch. You know, some people say, well, Pastor, the Bible says that no man can pluck us out of the hand of God. I said, yeah, I know it says that, but it doesn't say we can't jump out on our own. Can I get amen, right? Why is God punishing me? It's like, dude, look it. God's hand of protection is like this. And, you know, it's his hand doesn't move. We're the ones that move. Some people say like this. I see this. You guys might see this floating around. If somebody says God feels distant, you're like, he didn't move. Oh, I feel far away from God. He doesn't move. If I feel far away from the Lord, I need to say, when did I wander off into the weeds? Can I get amen? This all right? Anybody really mad yet? Offended? Discipline. Everybody say discipline. 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 Disciplina. Sorry. Trying to get my Spanish on. See, church, when we think of discipline or disciplina, it's terrible still. I know. It's awful. I'm so white. Better? All right. I'm so white. Lord, help me. We think of discipline in our culture. Let's just think we think of punishment. Is that right, church? You tell somebody discipline, we think of punishment, right? That's not the word here. And it's not the word in the Greek. The Greek word means to train up like a child. Now, some of us probably had difficult upbringings, which our parents failed to train us well, and all they did was punish us when we screwed up. Anybody, let's just be real, man. I'm not judging anybody. My parents were kind of like that in a sense, right? My dad especially. My dad's home with the Lord now. Bless him. We have a great relationship. Had a great relationship, right? But my dad, like, people talk to me and be like, oh, how'd you learn how to do that? I taught myself how to do that. My dad did not teach me. My dad didn't teach me how to handle money, didn't teach me about how to have a good relationship. He didn't teach me how to raise kids. He didn't teach me nothing. Can I get amen? I fell on my face a whole bunch of times when, like, man, that's that. I don't like that. I'm going to do different, right? But the concept here, my beloved, and the thing is we take this into the church, and what have, I'm just going to look over here. I'm not trying to get mad, nobody mad. What have most of us experienced in church? We get punished, right? We do something wrong, and we're punished. We're sat down, almost sit you down off the platform. Dude, that is not the word. The word here, I've teach this all the time. Listen, do you, I got to understand, God wants to lead us pre-decision, not punish us post-decision. What did we look at last week? All who are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Church, I'm telling you what, if you are led by the Holy Ghost, you will not get yourself in trouble. With religious folks, you will sometimes. Do you understand what I'm saying? Think about this. The Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit leads you into the wilderness, you know why he's leading you into the wilderness? To speak kindly to you there. That's what the Bible says. Behold, I will lead her into the wilderness, talking about Israel, and I'll speak kindly to her there. Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to do what? Overcome the devil. Is this all right? Sometimes the Spirit of God will lead us into a situation, but he says if the Spirit of God is leading you into something that looks scary and looks difficult and looks like it's too much, he's leading you there because he's taking you into something to overcome it. Is this all right? Psalm 5:8. Ruth, can you pop these up there quick for me? I'm just going to read them and move on. Oh, Lord. Everybody say it with me. Lead me. Lead me in your righteousness because of my foes. Make your way straight before me. Psalm 23, verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters or still waters. Psalm 31, verse 3. For you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will. I don't know about you. Anybody ever go on like a hike somewhere where you don't know and you got a guide? What's the guide supposed to do? Keep you from falling off the cliff. Right? Is that true? Do you see what I'm saying, church? The Spirit of the Lord, when he disciplines us, what he's trying to do is grab a hold of our heart, grab a hold of our decision-making centers, right, our mind, and say, look, before you do this, I want to train you. I want to teach you. I want to, before you need to be forgiven. Right? I was talking with another young man today. He says, Pastor, when you pray, do you ask for forgiveness every time? I said, no, I don't. He said, I used to. Because that's what church teaches us, right? You must have done something wrong. We were in South Africa several years ago with Alex, and I remember sitting down with these young, that we had a Youth for Christ, right? Youth for Christ team came in out of Germany down to South Africa for the middle of our trip, and we're sitting down at dinner one night, and I'm talking to this young girl, 18, 19-year-old girl, and she's saying to me, we got talking about this. She goes, well, Pastor, what if I go to sleep and I didn't repent of something and I die? I'm not going to go to heaven. I was like, where is that in the Bible? Where on earth is that in the Bible? She goes, wow. I said, look, we were that particular day, right? We were going from dawn to dusk, man. And so I said to this girl, we're all in the same thing together. I said, okay, what'd you do when you woke up this morning? She goes, well, I woke up and I thanked the Lord for the day. I said, I'm pretty sure that ain't sin. Right? I said, then what'd you do? She goes, well, we came over and had breakfast. I'm like, that's not sin, right? Pretty sure. And she's, I said, well, then what? Then she said, well, then we went over to the orphanage and we played with the kids and prayed with them and taught them Bible stuff. And I said, okay, so did you sin there? And she goes, no, I don't think so. So then what do? We had lunch and then we went here and we went there. Do you understand my point? We get all the end of the day. I said, okay, so where did you sin here today? She's like, why? I guess I didn't. And this look on her face was like completely shocked. Like, wow, I didn't sin one time today. Church, do you understand that God loves us so much? He wants us to deal with our sin. He's not going to let some kind of, if your heart is right with God, he's not going to ignore some kind of sin that's going to like booby trap you down the road. Do you understand? Can I get an amen from anybody that's been convicted by the Lord? Right? You do something and you're like, whoa, that was wrong. Right? Because he loves us. He's disciplining us. He's saying, whoa, that was wrong. Am I making sense? Right? Do we need to repent? I mean, if you've sinned, please repent. But why this concept that we're just automatically going to sin all the time is not biblical. Amen. Yeah? The Greek word here, my beloved, for discipline, it does carry with it a little bit of correction, but it's correction to bring life, not correction to bring shame and destruction. Right? When all four of my kids, they've all done dumb things, and you know what I'm, right? My job as their father is not to destroy them. It's to let's correct this behavior. I love you. You're my daughter. I'm with you. You still got a plan on your life. Can I get amen, right? It's not like, oh my gosh, you've done this and that's it. But that's a lot of church culture in America. Can I get amen? Right? The concept here, and then I'm going to wrap this up, be quick today. Quicker than normal. The concept here is to train, right? To train. Think about like if you were to train an athlete or even a child goes to school, right? The children, our kids go to school hopefully to be trained, right? They're taught math and English and science and hopefully stuff that's going to be relatively useful at some point in their life, right? As an athlete, you train because you discipline your body, right? It's not punishment. I'm preparing my body to do something that I want to do, right? I go to my gym. My trainer walks around every class. He's always walking around. He's looking at us. And he's, you know, if you're doing something wrong, like your form is wrong or whatever, he'll get on you about it. He'll be like, get your shoulders back, you know, because why? He doesn't want us to get hurt, right? This is how the Lord's dealing with us as with sons. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Lord's like, look, stop doing that. You're going to get hurt. That's going to blow up in your face. That's going to lead you down a wrong path. He's trying to get us before we make a mess, not after we make a mess. Anybody made a mess? How about today? Think about this. Just a little image. Hopefully, I'm realizing I'm older than I realize I am sometimes in my brain. Have we all seen the original Karate Kid? Everybody over 40 was like, of course. Right? I'm talking the original one with Ralph Macchio, right? And wax on and wax off, right? So, if you remember that movie, it's just here's a good point. This is sometimes the Lord will have us do stuff that it makes no sense at all. We ask him like, okay, I want to do this. I want to go here, right? But then the Lord's like, okay, yeah, but go do this. And you're like, what? So, right, Ralph Macchio, he goes and he wants Mr. Miyagi to teach him karate, right? And so Mr. Miyagi's got this little thing and he's got all these old cars and he's teaching. He says, do the wax on, right? It's wax on and wax off. Then it's paint the fence up and down. And after like weeks and weeks and weeks of this, Mr. Miyagi teaches him no karate at all. And Ralph, you know, Danielson, he gets all frustrated. He starts going up to Mr. Miyagi. He says, you're just making me fix all your stuff around your house. And Mr. Miyagi's like, yeah, dude, you stupid idiot. He says, show me, wax on, wax off. And Danielson's like, and so all of a sudden, then Mr. Miyagi throws him like a side, like a roundhouse kick. And as he's moving his hand, he blocks the kick. And like clicks, like, oh man, you've been training me the whole time. And I didn't even know it. Show me paint defense. Right? Church, I'm guaranteed, just raise your hand. Have you ever been through a season where you got no idea what God's doing with you? And then all of a sudden, you wake up one day and go like, oh, you're sneaky. All right. You snuck that one in on me. All right. I see how it is. Teaching me the whole time. That wax on, wax off thing actually was karate. All right. Do you see this? No discipline is pleasant for the season. Why am I doing this? Why has God had me doing this? Why has God had me? Why has the pastor got me doing this? You know, my wax on, wax off was here at the church, teaching children's church. And all the children's church teachers chuckled under their breath. Right? Pastor had me teach children's church for like 6 years, man. And I, like, every month, I'm like, there's no way. I was just in there last month. Come on. But he only told me after many, many, many sessions in there was he says, if you can teach children, you can teach anybody. Amen. Right? It was my wax on, wax off moment. Right? How many people ever tried teaching kids? It's like herding cats, man. Right? Dude, sit down and, bro. Also, I'm 2 days in a row with my kids this week. Missy worked 2 days in a row. I was like, babe, don't ever do that again. Because somebody almost died, and I think it was me. All right, dude. Look at this, verse 5 and 6. So I'm just going to tear these apart just for a few moments here, then we're done. He says, you've forgotten the exhortation. The Greek word there, church, is encouragement. That's what it means, right? He says to the these are Jews that have been saved, right? The Hebrews, right? These are Jews that have been saved. He says, you've forgotten the encouragement which is given to you, addressed to you as sons. Do not regard lightly the training of the Lord, right? I know there's definitely one person here other than me that's been has had a trainer in their life. But anybody ever had a trainer, like someone who's really trying to whip you into shape and teach you how to do something, right? There are times when that is not pleasant. You know, dude. Like, I remember at our gym, we had a guest trainer one time, and we had to do this crazy, like, plank on our elbows, like, move these cones around. After an hour of workouts, that was like we had to finish up. We had to move these cones back and forth like 65 times or something. And I'm like, I hate this guy. This guy's got to be the devil. And so I'm like halfway through and I'm dying. And then he says, if anybody slacks off, we're doing it again. I was like, I'm just going to leave. Let's see you stop me doing that. Dude. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? We will have times as the Lord is maturing us that we're like, man, I don't like this. I don't want any part of this. This doesn't feel good. It makes no sense. But God is saying this is part of the journey of becoming a mature son. It's part of the journey, part of the package, right? Don't faint in verse 5, right? Don't regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. He says, in other words, the King James says this, don't despise it. King James Version. Don't despise the discipline of the Lord. Nor faint when you are reproved by him. The Greek word for reproved, if you're taking notes, is exposed, convicted, or rebuked. Expose, convict, or rebuke. He says, don't faint when this happens by God. Remember years ago, the Lord, I was praying. I had some junk in my heart. I was broken. And I said, Lord, heal me. Please heal me. And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, son, I reveal things before I heal things. I was like, I know, no, that's not how we're going to do it. And then he brought me to a verse where it says that this, when we walk in the light as he is in the light, then, everybody say then we have fellowship with one another and the blood of his son cleanses us from all sin. You know, sometimes when we see that verse, we think of the sin that we've committed, but you know what else he's talking about? The sin that's been committed against us. Because when we're sinned against, it can poison our soul. Can I get amen, church? Right? Anybody ever been sinned against and you, man, that was a hard one to get over. Right? But when we choose to reveal that thing, we bring it out into the light, we confess it to a brother or sister that we can trust, right? We bring that, we stop hiding it, we bring it out. The Lord says, now I can deal with that. You understand? Those whom the Lord loves, here's the Greek word, is agape. Oh, everybody say agapeo. Guess where else this word is? It's like 100 times in the New Testament. But John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes on him would not perish but have everlasting life, right? God so loves. Agapeo is the verb form of love. It is the original word used for love in the New Testament. And he says, if I love you, I'm going to train you. It's the verb. Here's how I'm showing you my love. I'm training you. I'm disciplining you. I'm cutting some stuff out of your life. Because that's what he says the next thing, right? And he scourges every son whom he receives. The word scourge, almost done, church. The word scourge, it shows up only a couple times. And one of the times is what happened to Jesus when he's being whipped just before he's crucified. They tied him to a stake, and the Bible says that they scourged him. If you've seen The Passion of the Christ, you'll see it once, maybe twice, and you probably don't want to see it after that. Because they would whip him. They whipped him with this cat of nine tails, is what's called a whip with tails on it. And they would tie, you know, glass or rocks onto the end of this whip. And then so they would whip, and the thing would hit the body and then whip around his body, and the metal would dig in. And then the guy would just yank it. And it just rips chunks of flesh off of his body. Ow. I remember watching that scene. We watched that movie. I'm watching the scene. I'm like, yo, man. And that stuff doesn't normally bother me. But I realized, like, this was what he took from me. So does God want to scourge us? Is he going to tie us to a post? And no. Oh, my goodness, though. That's why Jesus did that. So he's not doing it to us. What is God scourging, my beloved? I think God is scourging. He's cleansing all the junk that's on the inside of us, right? He's stripping this stuff out. He's getting the stuff out of us that was destroying us. Anybody ever been healed by God from anything? We had some time this morning, right? How about emotional healing? How'd that feel? Dude, awful. Absolutely horrid. And then when you come through it, you're like, I mean, one person just recently told me, they said, Pastor, I feel like I can breathe again. Right? Man, it hurts. It hurts when we're going through it. But God says, look, I need to get that stuff out of your soul so that you can become the person I want you to become, predestined to be conformed to the image, the likeness of Christ. Right? Next verse, back to Romans 8. We're done right here. Why? So that Jesus would be the firstborn among many brethren. Isn't that a funny thing to say? Some of like the Jehovah's Witnesses, they will take that verse right there. That's one of the verses they use to, the Jehovah's believe that Jesus was created by God. don't know if you guys knew that or not. Jehovah's believe that. There's a few other cults that believe that. But that's, they take that scripture in Romans 8 is one of the ones they use. They say Jesus was born. I'm like, no, that is not what Paul's saying. What Paul's saying there is Paul's saying that he's, when we see Jesus walking for the last 3.5 years of his life on earth, anointed by the Holy Spirit, right? He's baptized by John and the Spirit descends on him like a dove, right? He's anointed by the Holy Spirit. He's saying that's this, Jesus wasn't born again because he didn't need to be, but that's effectively what happened to him. Kind of get amen. You understand? That 3.5 years of Jesus' life, that's when he's leaving. He says, you're going to do greater things than this. Because I'm going away. Because I'm gonna, the same Spirit that came on me is going to come on you. Do you understand? So he's saying Jesus is the perfect, mature Son. He does everything. Not a thing he does is without the voice of the Father, right? He's in perfect obedience, perfect submission, perfect harmony with the Father, right? He's saying, that's what I'm calling you to. So that you will do greater things than Jesus. How many people, I read that scripture, you'll do greater things, and I'm like, okay, when's that going to start? Like, dude, right? But he says, you know what? I'm called because the call is to maturity, right? When you become a mature son, which again is not this, it's not a finish line. Can I get amen, church? Right? It's not a destination, but it's this, it's a commitment to say, God, I want to be that mature son. I want to be this son that is like in perfect unity with you. You want to do something? I just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Can I get amen, church? Let's stand up. Two verses here. I'm not even going to preach on them. Just read them, and we'll shut her down. Hebrews 12, two more verses right where we ended. Verse 12, therefore, everybody say therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Why? Because we will have seasons that are not pleasant. And the writer says, hang on, stand up, because you're going to make it, right? Strengthen the hands that are weak, the knees that are feeble. Make straight paths for your feet so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. God trains us, my beloved. He disciplines us for our healing, for our good. Not for our destruction. So, Father, in Jesus' name, help us, oh God, to understand some of these more difficult truths. Being a Christian is not always easy. Being committed to that process of maturity and growth is not always easy. We know that in the world, but somehow we don't translate it into the kingdom. But Lord, scriptures are clear here, Father, that as we submit to that, as we say, yes, Lord, do what you need to do. Dig out whatever's got to be dug out. Rid me of whatever needs to be rid of, Lord. Add what needs to be added. Take away what needs to be taken away. Lord, that we trust that you are doing something good in our lives. It may hurt, but it results in wholeness and maturity. So, Lord, help us to strengthen our hands and our weak knees. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Yes, ma'am. Sure. Tomorrow night, is it? What do you got, Rachel? Nice and loud. Come on up. I don't have it. I was going to do that, but I don't have it right in front of me. You're next Sunday, right?
Wanda, are you this coming Friday? Okay, so Wanda's group is 6:30 this Friday. Are you guys eating dinner together? Like, do people need to bring a dish? Okay, as you guys know, you can go to any group or join any group. So we can send out, I guess we'll have to do to everyone, right? Yeah, because it's not, okay. So this Friday at 6:30, the Cruz is having their community group. Next Sunday is my community group after church at around 12:30. We'll have lunch, so everyone will have to bring bring a dish. And the Maskevich group is 7 p.m. on Monday the 22nd. And I'm assuming they do dinner too. So just wanted to bring that up.
Thank you so much. So guys, have an awesome week. In Jesus' name, Facebook and YouTube, blessings on you guys. Guys, we'll be here a Tuesday night, last week of Bible study, 7 o'clock on Zoom. Wednesday prayer will be here. Excuse me, not Tuesday night. Thursday night. It's not Tuesday. Thursday night is Zoom prayer, a Bible study. Wednesday here, we'll be praying at 7 o'clock. Have a good week. In Jesus' name, amen.